Are you ready to receive the word? Father, we thank you that your word is living, sharper than any double-edged sword. It will divide us on the, it will search our hearts. We pray now, Lord God, that as your word is proclaimed, we would receive by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. So, morning, everyone. If we can maybe stand up for those of you who might be a little on the edge, might want to stretch a little bit. Maybe you want to say hello to your neighbor, say hello, and maybe shake hands a bit for those who like to be in motion. So it's great. Oh, some of you are going around. Okay, that's fine. So I do recognize some of the new faces. Welcome. Welcome to our family. Great to have you guys. Amen. All right, we'll continue with our worship this morning. As Graham just mentioned that we don't have a 10-year plan, which is good because we don't know what's coming even next week, let alone tomorrow, right? So regarding that, some of you might know this already, that we have, as in elders, you know, the Bob and Graham and Chuck and myself and Colt and Michael, we did go on a retreat. It was on Friday evening we got together last week, and we stayed overnight at the Bethesda, and we spent most of our Saturdays just eating. No, maybe. We were cooking, all of us were pitching in, cooking together at the kitchen right there. And my brother Colt was gracious enough to bring the grocery. But it was more or less, initially everybody probably had their own idea of what the retreat might be, but the Lord was leading us to be vulnerable and to allow our hearts to be knitted together as one. Of course, there's always a tension when you speak from your heart. When you're not covering up, when you're being vulnerable, when you're being transparent, because of who we are and our background and our strengths and weaknesses are all different, people can have friction here and there. But because we're a family, we have the same goal, same purpose, we serve the same Lord, our intention was not a division, even among a friction or disagreement. Our intention, our goal, and our purpose from the get-go was serving one God with one heart, with honoring our strengths and weaknesses and differences as one, because that's how we collectively move together as a family. Some of you, the visitors especially, right, probably saw that we do things different here. We don't have a lot of rigid scheduling, although some of us might like that, right? I've been part of the Presbyterian denominational church. I'm a fourth generation, and Presbyterians do have order of service, right? They have all the things, and you're given out a paper as you come in through to the sanctuary. You're given that, you know exactly what to expect. And God does move even within those programming, but we believe that the way we do it is more flexible than that. And sometimes it can be challenging because we may have certain segments that some of us love and hate, or some of us hate but love, right? So it's all those different things that comes together to create a beautiful family. So I know, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So please pray that we become a open door for the Spirit of the Lord to continue to move, to transform our lives together as a family of God, beyond the age differences, beyond generations and the culture. Because Ottawa, when I first immigrated with my dad invested into Canada in the 80s. We came as an investor's visa in the 80s. Ottawa is now way different than we ever were in a multicultural sense. And despite some of the downfalls, some of the negative aspect, I do believe strongly God is the one who's behind this. And we have to figure out, as the Spirit leads, how we are going to allow the Spirit of the Lord to bring incredible amount of diversity under the same Spirit of Jesus Christ. Because when we prayed this morning in that prayer room, we came around 9:30, is open, more all of you are welcome to join us for prayer. The central theme, of course, is Jesus, but Jesus was focused way more than before. It was all about King Jesus, because we serve. I shared this with Sunny before. We are educated, we grow up. You know, even though I have a Korean background, it's the democracy there, right? We grew up in an environment and a culture and a nation that everyone has a right to vote in the issues and everyone has the right to vote in the leader and all that. We live in democracy. But what we fail to recognize that as a citizen, as the sons and daughters of Kingdom of God, we don't live in democracy in reality. Physically, we're in the country that is a democracy, but in the kingdom, is theocracy. God rules, and he does not take vote to decide what he wants to do. He has already made up his mind from beginning to the end, already is done. We cannot vote in or vote out whatever the plan of the Lord. So renewing our mind, one of the major things that we need to understand is that we are part of the kingdom of God, where God is absolute authority and a king. And as his sons and daughters, we have a dialogue with him, but ultimately we use our free will to obey God. That's it. But it's really hard because we live here and it feels like we have some kind of power, but in reality, we have the authority that has been delegated to us. And that authority is what God desires for us to utilize to bring as many as we can into the kingdom and to continue to walk in freedom by exercising and casting out demons, raise the dead, and heal the sick. That is continuous. It's not a one time, but it's continued work of Jesus Christ through us, because we are the body that he kind of left, if you want to call it that. And that as a body, we continue the work of the Lord that was established 2,000 years ago. Amen? Okay, that's it. Anyways, so... But we should have fun, right? We get to laugh, and I bet, I cannot tell you for sure, for certain, but I bet Jesus had fun with his disciples. I cannot imagine him being always stoic and always being serious and always yelling and screaming and rebuking. I bet he was kind of fun to be around. And his disciples were ready to die for him, because he must have something that is very appealing as a man of God or as a God himself. And sometimes we can be too serious, i.e. myself, because I don't know how to do a lot of small talk. I talk about a lot of serious things. And even though I was a little kid, I read and memorized encyclopedia, the world history. And I only, even as a little kid, my mom went there, "What is this guy? He always want to talk about serious things. He does not know how to have fun." Whereas my younger brother was a joker. He was a clown. He always joked around, had fun. I did not know how to have just casual conversation. But I'm warming up to that. Some of you probably know that already. You see me, I kind of fumble through, try to have a small talk. But we all have different uniqueness to it, right? Amen? So because of the season that we're in, and I know that Graham kind of mentioned that we've been coming together legally, it's like a two marriages, right? Legally, that you sign the legal paper and you kind of do the small ceremony with the small in-house ceremony, right? And we begin to live together as a two families of God, as two churches coming together as one, but we are officially citywide, if you want to call it that, celebrating Sunday next week. So there has been a lot of things that has been moving within us, and especially for those that are part of the, you know, his church. Our church name is legally registered as HIS, His Church. So that was our church name. And believe it or not, as of today, one family has already moved. Some of you know Colt and Amanda Charlebois. And there was a founding members, which are four families, and all other three family, I mean, initially we all talked about, okay, we feel that the Lord is wanting to move all of us to a different location, i.e. our home, right? Sometime 2027. And Colt kind of say, yeah, maybe 2027, maybe 2028. And suddenly there was a rush in the spirit and he was the first to move. And Phil and Reinhardt and my wife and I, we felt, yeah, 2027 would be a good day for us. But all of a sudden, Phil just put his house on the market this week. Reinhardt will be putting his house on the market, and us, God willing, I've been slaving to paint the home, and one of the walls is facing just the wall. It has no window, no nothing. The stairway is a one wall against the stairway. It's like a 20 feet or something, super high. And we live in a town home, right? It's not a huge house, but the wall is so tall. I had a hard time painting with the rod and everything and make sure that paint doesn't splash against anything. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of movements. So for us too, yeah, we're believing and hoping and knowing that we are going to move, list our home this week. So, and we didn't plan that, but we know that the Lord was the one that's in it. And whether we like it or not, we are moving. So that kind of brought us to this. Okay, there we go. This is, Son and I kind of talked about this for some time, but I felt it is the right timing for us to share this because we are always, always on a go. From the time that we're born as an infant all the way to the moment that we breathe our last breath, we're always moving, even if we're still, because time itself is moving forward. And our physical age from day one to the last day, whether we like it or not, is continue to move like a water that's flowing from upstream to down. And we know it is a good thing, and decaying and rusting and things falling apart is a good thing because it reminds us that it is Lord's plan that he will redeem the entire world. And we have already experienced that as believers, right? We have been redeemed, right? Raise your hand if you believe that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of his testimony. Amen? So we are part of the redeemed, and we have already experienced that aspect. But just as Roman, we are sons and daughters of the light, and the whole world is groaning for the redemption that Jesus Christ is coming back. So I just want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. We can read it together. Okay, let me see the clicker. There we go. Okay. Hope that was not a... Okay, I got the clicker. Thank you. All right, let's read together from verse 13. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. You are here. Your words, there were two or three of you gathered there in my Father. We thank you, Father. I ask the gifts and the anointing that you have placed in my life for your people. May they operate and may they be activated. May they manifest. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to them beyond what I said, but speak what they need to hear for them to live the life that they're called to live this week. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is about, you know, faith, right? Because 11:1, he says, now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And he continued to talk about the patriarch or the matriarch, like a matriarch of the faith, well, mostly men, of the faith from the old covenant. It does talk about Sarah, though, right? One Sarah, by her faith that she was able to conceive. Sometimes we only talk about faith of the Abraham, that his reproductive organ was restored, and he was able to meet with Sarah, and she was able to conceive. But in reality, Hebrews also talks about Sarah, her reproductive organ by her faith in God was restored. But I just want to focus beyond that, though, beyond all the things that they believed that by faith they could not see. Abraham obviously was believing not only Isaac, but God spoke to him about, you will have your descendants as numerous as what? Stars or the sand, right? God talked about that. But did he see that? No. So that's the journey of faith that Abraham was on. And every single other person that was listed here, they never saw their fullness. They only saw the partial or the beginning of their promises, but they never saw the fullness of their promise. And for us, our eternal promise is more than just salvation, just the beginning of it, but we are called to walk with the Lord, and we're calling and believing that Jesus would return and reestablish his kingdom here. And that's the final hope and belief that we have. And some of us will see that. Well, none of us will see that even until the Lord return. I was talking to somebody maybe on Friday that even heaven and hell right now is not eternal. It's temporary, because eternal heaven will be established and eternal hell will be established. But whatever it is right now is only temporal. And none of us, even those who are dead, will not see that until the return and establishment of the kingdom of God here. So I do see three parts from this verse 13 through 16. One is God is calling us to move forward and don't turn back. Second is he's also guiding us, not our best. Whatever that we pray for, whatever we desire, he does not and have not and do not have a plan to give our best, but rather his best. And his best awaits for us. And third, some of us touched on it. As we continue to move forward with the Lord, that we have to remember this old English word that most people don't use anymore. How many of you know this word, pilgrim, right? Well, pilgrims, we're simply passing through the world. We're simply passing. So those three things I would like to touch this morning. So let's go with first one. Move forward. Okay, let's see. There you go. So move forward. Don't turn back. I'm not saying don't look back or examine your life as the Lord guides you, reflect upon what you have done in your heart and all that as you go through sometimes the healing or repentance. The word that I use is don't turn back, not don't look back. Because what does that mean? Don't turn back means that he does not desire us to keep regretting what we have done in the past and try to live from our past. And some of us, especially those who like to reminisce of our past and I should have done this, what if I go back and, you know, invest it into NVIDIA or Amazon and all these, and kind of regretting our today based on our past action. So what the Lord is saying, that don't do that. And let's read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. It says, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. So if we continue to think about our past, we are, our mind, our heart is stuck, and we do not value today. That is absolutely true. And we are crippled by that. And In the Old Covenant, God said this, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And I believe one of the main reasons why God said that about himself is because he was saying, I am God now. I am now God. Of course, God is beyond time and space. He's in the past, present, and the future all at the same time because he's outside of time and space. But from our perception, what the Lord is saying, that I am God now, I am God today. So he desires for us to keep our eyes today. As we continue to move forward, especially, you know, if we buy a property or if we buy a home or if we merge a church, we often will have temptation. Ah, those were the days. That was the thing. I want to go back to that neighborhood. It was better when his church, young punks, weren't with us. You know, now they're demanding all these things. I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm just saying it. All these his church young leaders, you know, they're making things really uncomfortable. And we could always reminisce about yesterday. I was just sharing with Pastor Chuck after prayer. I was just looking at some of the, what do you call that, the cassette tape, right? I almost lost the name for it. Cassette tape. I'm a 70s kid, you know, I know the analog stuff, cassette tapes. And when the digital media came out, we all felt it would last eternity, right? The compact disc would last hundreds of years. But now we found out, externally, yes, the disc itself will last hundreds of years because it's made out of plastics. But how many of you know this? The data inside will corrupt. It will not last even 50 years or something, right? So who knows the right number? You can tell me. Don't Google it right now. It's too late. But there's no such a thing. Even the things that we try to build, it does not last long. So what the Lord is saying this, he's saying today is the best day of your life. And he's asking us, don't turn back. Don't get bound by your past experience or your past relationship or your past job or whatever, your past home or the neighborhood or the things when you were younger, because every generation, they're reminiscent about what was better when you were younger, in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 50s, in the 40s. You know, you always go back. Every generation talk about the old things, old songs, the old shows, and all that, old food. But I do believe that Lord, for our benefit, is telling us not to turn back. And some of us are in this unique season. Every seasons of our lives, we're moving forward. Whether you go from JK to senior kindergarten to elementary to high school or university, then you get your first job and you get your spouse, then you buy your first home and you have your children and you grow your children, you become grandparent and great-grandparent and you retire, you go to retirement home and all that. Anybody, all of you are right now fitting into that category somewhat. And there is a reason and a purpose in the things that we can do where we are. Instead of constantly thinking about what was, if we focus on what is and allow the Holy Spirit to work with us, we can go to retirement home. I know my wife and I don't even want to talk about going to retirement home. Our plan is hopefully that we can live in our home until the Lord called us. But whatever his plan for us, we know is better than ours. And we know that ultimately it's all about relationship, that he desires for us to cultivate the relationship that God is for us and bring others into that relationship wherever we are. But if we are always thinking about past and stuck in that place, we'll be paralyzed to manifest the kingdom. Amen? And that, as we continue to move forward, that will also bring us to this place of understanding that no matter what we're facing, he desires to give us his best. And sometimes we fight the Lord with tooth and nails, right? Because we only see what we see every moment at a time, that we see things moment to moment. even though that we have a plan for maybe 10 years, or some of you are really good with your finances and numbers and plan. Maybe you have a plan all the way down through your funeral. Maybe you already bought some funeral plans so your children do not have to scramble to have you, you know, buried in a coffin and where to bury and all that. But reality is, we don't even see 1 second from this moment. And we always struggle and fight God and whatever that might be, wanting how we see and how we perceive the things should be. And I think COVID kind of probably and should have jarred us from that space, right? COVID, the totally unknown things, the world has turned upside down, the world forever has changed since COVID, should have reminded us that our perception, our wisdom, our understanding of how the things will flow and arrive and should be is standing on a very fragile surface, very thin ice. So let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16 on this. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So God's best is always better than our best. One of the examples is that when Sonny and I, we lived at this beautiful house that God showed us with his vision, and we had dreamt about this house. I mean, right before we moved out, it was really great, and we had a lot of prayer meeting there. We had a house church there. We started multiple business there, and it was an incredibly large home. And when God allowed us, or kind of forced us, because we're fighting for it, to sell our home, it was really hard because we did not know where we're going. And fortunately, at the time that we're selling our home, our parents, they were traveling internationally for about 5 months. So we're able to grab all our stuff that we have accumulated over the years, put it in their huge garage, i.e. storage space, and moved into their home. And we're looking for our new place. So it was really challenging. First and foremost, he was leading us to sell without knowing where we're going. How many of you have been there? Some of you are in there right now without knowing where we're going. We had no plan. We had no nothing. We didn't even know we were able to buy the house or anything like that. So we sold and lived in that Manatee location, middle of nowhere. It's not a rich Manatee million-dollar mansion area. My parents are humble. They're living in a small shack. So, well, they don't live there anymore. But, you know, we were there. And it was very challenging, but we fasted. There was a multiple fast and prayer and all that. And the place that the Lord has led us was, you know, 1/3 of what we lived in before, a townhome. And we were not happy. We're like, oh, God, how could you do this to us? We're faithfully serving you. You know, I'm a pastor. We had a house church, and we had multiple businesses, and we sacrificed, and we did everything for you. And what is this? Because our perception and our thinking was flawed. And we assume that going from glory to glory was getting richer and bigger and better. But in reality, that is not the main thing. The main thing for the Lord was that we keep a posture of being humble and hungry and thirsty for God. And everything is all about the Lord. But sometimes, especially those who God speaks and they hear God and they experience the miracle signs and wonder more often than the others for whatever reason, you can fall into a trap of thinking, oh my goodness, I'm a man of God or I'm a woman of God. God favors me. All these things happen whenever I pray, however I pray. But that is a dangerous place. I had a conversation on Friday with some of the youth talk about, okay, are we righteous or are we sinner? And that's the debate that still goes on between some of the denomination. And personally, you may agree or not agree, but personally, I believe that we have been made righteous by his works, even though that we are sinner at one point, that we still have the capacity to sin, but we have been made righteous by him. So it's never ourselves. But sometimes when you experience God, when you walk with God, when you sense his presence quite often, you become delusional thinking that whatever that you might be doing right, you think it is. It's the one that qualifies you for something that is greater, without understanding that no matter how pure or holy that we think that we're walking in the sight of the Lord is filthy rag in the sight of God, because God's perfection is Jesus Christ. God, let me repeat that. God's perfection is Jesus Christ. And we put on the Lord, and we are righteous and holy because of Jesus, and there's nothing else. So I know that we can't fall into camp and thinking that we're a wretched sinner, even though we're not, or we think that we're righteous because of our action. Going back, so God had to do that to detox all this pride and all the things that we did not see for ourselves, and all the incredible number of offerings, all the sacrifice that we have done for the kingdom of God. But reality is, it is his resources that he put on the earth before creating man and woman. All the gold, all the silver, all the cattle, everything, all the resources on the planet earth, according to Genesis, which I believe, created before us. And it belonged to him. Not only that, we belong to him. He bought us through sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So nothing that I have is ever mine. Nothing that I toil and do my best to work for, even that, according to Book of Psalm, even that is a proverb, sorry, that God is the one who gave us the ability to gather wealth. It is the Lord. So looking back, I realize the place that we're living in right now, it is the best place that God has given us. And as we transition out and we believe that God has placed for us next, our perception has changed, and we're not saying, well, which better home, which bigger home, which more finer home is the Lord upgrading us? We don't think like that. We have changed over the years, and we're believing. Which home in the neighborhood does he want us to move so we can manifest, we can allow others to experience more of the kingdom of God through our place? Of course, having a restful home and peaceful home is a bonus, but it's not a primary goal for us. And I'm hoping that as a church, we think the same way as we have now going to celebrate next week about merging. No matter what friction or what difficulties, what challenges lies ahead, together as one, because we have received direction and confirmation from the Lord to merge together, we're hoping and believing that we will say the Lord's plan is the best. Even though I may suffer, even though that it may be uncomfortable, even though it's the things that I may not like, it is the Lord's way, and I trust the Lord every step of the way. Amen? Amen. That brings us to the third plan. I mean, third point. Well, third plan, third point. Yeah. With pilgrims. I mean, moving or continue to transition or going from one place to another, going from one phase of our lives to another phase, should remind us that we're passing through. No matter how hard we try to claw or hold on to our influence, our wealth, even our spouse and our children, we're simply passing through. And the only thing that counts when we stand before God alone, because we will not stand before God with anyone else, but only ourselves alone, is, did you walk in love? In John 15, right? Jesus said, bear the fruit. I know that some people may not like what I'm about to share. I do not believe we are measured by our salvation or all the things that we think that we're doing for God. I do believe we're measured by what Jesus has done and us doing as the body of Christ. And what Jesus has done was this: I say whatever my Father has said, I do whatever my Father has done. It's not, Jesus is not saying, everything verbatim. He was repeating like a parrot. He was saying that whatever my father is saying, he was saying it like interpretation, or whatever that father was doing, he was doing it like an interpretation of the tongues, that kind of thing. Not a translation of verbatim, but in the spirit and the essence of what the father is doing. Because if you do exactly what father is doing like a robot, then we don't have any autonomy. Going back, so what the Lord is saying this, that as we pass through lives, are we aware of that? As we work everything unto the Lord, as the Bible says, right? Bible says, I know that some people tell me, Young, I cannot hire this Christian brother or sister because they abuse grace and they are lazy and they don't work hard and they don't do anything with their supposedly job that I hired them for, and they keep demanding grace that I will pay them more than other people, and they keep demanding that they would work less. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about as we do unto the Lord with everything that we have unto God, with excellence. Because Paul did say, some of you, how many of you know this verse? I mean, I'm just paraphrasing. Paul said, I did more work than any other apostles, right? Why did God allow Paul to write that? Because living for God does not give us the right to be idle. I'm not talking about work to grind things, but I'm talking about getting rid of this religious spirit that when you're in favor with God, that you don't have to do any work. But in reality, like Jesus said, I am all about my Father's business. There are things that if we don't do it, God will find somebody else. But if nothing is being moved, nothing is being moved. Amen? So going back to that, when we're passing through the world, God desires for us to have duality, two different mindsets. One, that we don't hold anything tight, like we're going to hold it on until the rest of our lives and pass it on to generation after generation after generation to continue to build physical wealth. God does not want us to have that mindset. God wants us to also don't have a mindset of, I don't care, I'm passing, I'm going to heaven, the heck with the environment, the heck with the world, the heck with education, the heck with anything. I'm just going to lay low and just live my life as the Lord calls me. I'm just going to stay home and pray and do nothing. I'm not putting down those who are called to be intercessor. I praise you, brother or sister, for that. I'm saying the general mindset of just not wanting to do anything. Like Paul said, don't be an idol and don't go around, but serve the Lord, right? So let's read Hebrews chapter verse 11, 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So we need to hold these two things at the same time. One, that we do unto the Lord, whatever that we're called to, with excellence and with gratitude. Second, that we don't hold on to it so tight that we don't have any attachment to them and willing to let go any moment that God calls us to let go, no matter what that might be. Amen? So we talked about today all these things. You know, first thing that we talked about was that God calls us to move forward and don't turn back. Second thing from this scripture, he's reminding us, even though that we may think that we want this, he's telling us there's always better things, which is from the Lord. And third is also telling us to have the mindset of the pilgrim who's passing through, but make sure that we do excellence as we pass through this world. Amen? So I desire for all of us, including myself, to have this ingrained into our DNA, because every single one of us are in that season, that sometimes more than the other, sometimes that when we're getting closer to the finish line, that our understanding or our mindset or perception suddenly become different, whether that is through the urgency of ours, whether because through the physical illness or financial difficulties or or lack of wisdom or whatever that we see need to be done ASAP so that we can make sure that we are good, we have to trust the Lord every step of the way. So we have to begin to cultivate this heart and a mindset before the end of our time. Before the end of our time. I just want us to have this one exercise. Have you ever thought about what you would say as you close your eyes at the moment of death? So I want everyone to close your eyes. Let us go through exercise. Close your eyes. Imagine that you're lying in a hospital bed or bedroom or retirement home, wherever that might be, that you're slowly fading into eternity. And now you're getting ready to leave the world. What would you prepare or think about at that moment? The cash or gold or the wealth or the land, your children? Any of those things? You cannot turn back. There will come a moment for every single one of us. And God desires for us to be aware of that as we're alive, not when we're there. That we can never turn anything back. But it is the love and the relationship that we cultivated on the earth that carries forth into heaven. Because our eternal home, as we continue to move through different phases of our life, the destiny is our eternity with the Lord. Are you ready to go? If that were to happen today, if that were to happen tonight, are you ready to go? If not, what would you do to change that? And if not, why not? And I do believe that Lord wants us to begin to shift our focus, begin to live the kingdom now. So whenever and wherever we're called, we would always be ready. I know some people would ask this question, right? I've heard it before. What if you have $1 billion? What would you do then? I like that question, but the better one that I see is that, well, what if you are called by the Lord tonight? What would you change? What would you do different? So let us pray. Father, we thank you for giving us this incredible Holy Spirit to abide, to dwell, to remain, establish a habitation within us, as you call us, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you promised on that day in John 15, that on that day, which is today, that my Father and myself and the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. God, it is incredible, and it is incredible, and far beyond our understanding. How can and why would an incredible awe that God is coming and he has come inside of us and living with us. Lord, every single believer on the earth have the exact same measure and the access of the Lord that is within us, that create a place that is in us and continue to give us wisdom, resources, understanding, and the word. The only difference is that some of us utilize it, some of us don't. Father, help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord in the days to come. Help us to repent of our ways that may be focused on our own selves and let go of that and believe that you have the best things for us. And our ultimate destination is not here, but our heavenly places with you. Father, help us to utilize the heavenly resources and a person that is in us rather than on our own selves. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who have some conviction in your spirit, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, I would like to encourage you to either receive the ministry of the Lord where you are, or you could come up and the elders and the ministers will pray for you. Amen.